The Me Too movement was founded in 2006 to help victims of sexual and domestic violence. The movement has gained recognition in recent months and has become synonymous with the viral spread of stories alleging sexual misconduct by notable figures like Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, and Kevin Spacey. The movement was founded and spread by women, but men can still play a part in helping the message of the organization take root and for equality to blossom.
The Me Too movement has really shaken quite a few institutions, but this is also the kind of truth that so many women have been talking about for a long time. I mean, I think about Tarana Burke, who started the Me Too hashtag over 10 years ago, and all the people who have been speaking up for so long. And so for me, I thought, what could I do? How could I write a novel that's about how do we listen to and support women more? And also, in particular, how can men be better feminists?
That's Brendan Kiley, a New York Times bestselling author and a Coretta Scott King Honor Award winner. His novel, Tradition, tells the story of sexual misconduct at an elite boarding school.
I try to step back and not really look at these things as topics and issues, and really look at the people whose lives these experiences reflect. And for me, that's what's so great about a novel, is that we step back away from thinking about this as an essay or a news piece and maybe step into the hearts of the very people who experience these kinds of horrors. And in Tradition in particular, I was interested in this cultural moment we're in right now.
Before he could begin writing about these topics, he first had to understand what sexual harassment looks like and how status and privilege can impact one's understanding of these issues.
The way to begin these kinds of stories is to actually begin to interrogate the perspective that I do come from. So part of what I want to do when I'm writing a story like this, or I'm writing a novel like All American Boys, is begin to interrogate my own privileges within the experience I have as a male, as a white man, as a heterosexual white man, to begin to reflect on the ways in which all of those pieces of my identity precede me into the room and often protect me. If I can use my own experience to analyze and critique those levels of privilege, then maybe what I'm doing is more justice to a story that begins to think about how we all fit into our communities. And so therefore, as I'm writing these books, I'm hoping that I'm drawing back a curtain to kind of expose the underbelly a little bit of privileged positions in society. And I think in particular, when I'm thinking about misogyny in our culture, as a man writing this book, I think it's my role to sort of walk us into those locker room conversations and show truthfully how boys are encouraging this misogyny in each other from a young age and what we can do to try to shift the cultural language around that.
One thing that struck him was how hard it can be for privileged individuals to recognize how insidious and ever-present sexually inappropriate behavior can be in our everyday lives.
We can point to the Harvey Weinsteins and the Bill Cosbys of the world, and we can say, look at those monsters, or, you know, look at the damage they've done. And they have done that damage, and we should point that out. I think we as men in particular, and society at large in general, have to do a better job reflecting on the kind of culture that we create that enables those folks to do what they're doing, and the kind of culture that we create that also maybe sets things in motion, that lays the groundwork, that plants the seeds for that kind of attitude. And so for me, as someone who was in locker rooms as a high school athlete and listened to the way guys spoke about women, or in particular, I think about my days going to, you know, semi-formal dances and the way that guys would just talk about the prom and their entitlement to sex, or as if sex were the goal for a prom. And my hope is that a novel like Tradition can get readers to reflect on all of those small and subtle things that we're a part of and maybe think, well, you know, that's an opportunity for me to say, hey, that's not the goal of prom. Why don't we begin with respecting all the folks who are here instead of making this a kind of an aggressive competition?
One criticism that has been levied against the Me Too movement is that it's changing the way people have to conduct business. Certain offhand comments or gestures that once were acceptable are now being called out for being inappropriate.
Sometimes, you know, the road to equity requires those of us who've had that kind of privilege to pause and have a little bit of patience and not feel so threatened when people are asking for things to change. I don't think it's a big request for those who are asking to have guys like us sort of check our behavior a little bit, for us just to listen to those who are asking us to do that. I know there are a lot of people who are saying, oh, well, now I have to adjust the way I act in the workplace. But another way of looking at it is, a lot of other people have been adjusting the way they have to work for their whole lives. So it seems reasonable that we could do a little bit of work on our end, too.
One of his big points in tradition is that just because some thoughts or behaviors have been passed down for decades doesn't make those things acceptable.
It's a troubling thing when I think people look to the past and say times were better when, because hopefully we're always moving forward. Again, as I think about the kinds of young people out there, there are still a lot of folks who do hearken back to those good old days and those traditions, and this book talks about quite a few of those traditions. However, there are a lot of other young folks out there who are doing other things. And so, for example, I think about sports, and I think about, we say, oh, that's just locker room talk. Let the boys be boys. And why do you have to take things so seriously? Why are you policing my behavior in this way? Well, it's dangerous to think that way, because if we let things remain in the status quo, then the people who have been silenced for too long remain silenced. The people who have been unheard for too long remain unheard. Right now, all the people are asking is that we listen and believe to greater levels than we have before to the stories that women have been sharing with us.
Getting people to listen and take others' accounts seriously can be difficult, but he does see some progress being made, especially in younger generations.
One of the real inspirations for this novel was after the campaign trail and Donald Trump excused his violent language and attitude towards women with the excuse locker room talk, which is a tradition in our country, so to speak, I saw a photo online of a boys' football team in Portland, Oregon, and they were all wearing wild feminist t-shirts, and the caption underneath the photo was, "Not in our locker room." I look to leadership where it already exists, and there are young women who've been speaking up, and there are young men who've been speaking up to say those traditions no longer apply, that we can't use them as an excuse to continue to perpetuate the harm that we've been perpetuating for too long.
There are plenty of things all men, young and old, can do to help further the cause and end some of the rampant sexism that has persisted for so long.
I think there's a real role for men to play in this national conversation about the depth of misogyny in our culture, and I think that there are things that men can do to be active participants. One of those is to listen more to the stories that we're hearing from women every day in our lives, not just big news stories, to believe those stories, to begin to practice more empathy, I think is essential, and to use the moments when we're in more male-dominated spaces to stand up and have the courage to speak about all of this and not just hide and say no. I know all too often there have been moments in my own professional career where I've heard guys making jokes about women in one way or another, and I unfortunately remained quiet, and I regret those moments. And I think that a way to participate in the conversation going forward is, when I'm in those more male-dominated spaces, it's an opportunity for me to sort of speak up and say, hey, we don't need to have this kind of conversation anymore, or maybe we should rethink the way we do this. And in particular, I think one way we can do that is to highlight the work that many women, and women of color in particular, have been doing for so long. So again, I think about Tarana Burke and all the work she's been doing with Me Too for now more than 10 years. We have an opportunity, I think, as men, to participate in this conversation by going back and shouting out the leaders who have been doing this work for so long.
Tradition is available now. For more information about the Me Too movement, visit our site at viewpointsonline.net. You can find us on Twitter at Viewpoints Radio. Our show is written and produced by Evan Rook. Our executive producer is Reed Pence. Our production director is Sean Waldron. I'm Karen Hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.